trying to figure out WeChat marketing for your business? Then today's show is for you, episode number 73.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Happy Chinese New Year of the goat, lamb, or sheep, whichever it is you prefer. Google will tell me sheep. DuckDuckGo search engine tells me goat. And my buddy Trevor tells me it's lamb because it's his favorite meat. So I guess we can choose from any of those three in the English language. And I just finished my dumplings to celebrate. It's a tradition up in northern China and where my wife is from. And I've been kind of laying low this week for the holiday with my wife and kid at home. And this week we have WeChat marketing we are going to talk about. And it's good timing because my WeChat is totally overloaded with Chinese New Year well wishes. It's doing a big marketing push on this holiday in China with the traditional red envelope exchange where friends and family in China give small bits of cash to each other for cultural and traditional reasons. And now it's done inside of WeChat with this mobile commerce and mobile payment. Basically, they're becoming a massive bank now. And they had a big marketing push giving away 500 million yuan, which is about 83 million US dollars, to viewers of the most watched TV show in the world called Chun Wan during the Chinese New Year holiday. So what is WeChat? Maybe some of you might not have heard. Basically, it's like the WhatsApp or a chat app of China. And it's been dominating Chinese social media because it's basically not just chatting. It's got its own social network and mobile payments. We talked about a little bit with the red envelopes. And basically, they're just trying to take over the entire phone. They're trying to be your phone book now and make outgoing calls. So if you look at a mobile phone in a subway in China or anywhere in China, you'll see they're either on WeChat or on a mobile game. And that mobile game might even be inside of WeChat now. So with today's guest, we have Brent Deverman, a friend of mine for years now, and owner of ShenzhenParty.com, Shenzhen's first and biggest English web portal for jobs, news, and anything with Shenzhen. And his business has fully embraced WeChat, and he's going to share some of his secrets. And also, as always, the show notes are at globalfromasia.com/episode73, so don't forget to check it out. So let's listen in. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to our Global from Asia podcast. We're here in Shenzhen with Mr. Shenzhen, Brent Deverman from Shenzhen Party. Thanks for being here, Brent.
Thanks a lot, Mike. It's good to finally get on the podcast. I've been listening for since the beginning, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always appreciated your feedback and your introductions to different guests, and I'm glad we finally get this chance. So maybe I'm sure people already have heard of you, but maybe just introduce yourself and your business.
So my name is Brent Deverman. I founded ShenzhenParty.com about 14 years ago. Came to Shenzhen, I guess, 15 years ago now. It's time goes by very fast. And so I've been just plugging along at keeping the Shenzhen community informed on what's going on, you know, helping them find apartments and jobs and everything as well. And, you know, I've been trying to keep up with all the new technologies and platforms that have been coming along in all these years, and trying to, first it was Facebook, but now I think the thing to concentrate on is WeChat. So I guess that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, exactly. That leads into our topic of WeChat marketing. And, you know, I think we'll talk about this later, but it's not just China, but I think especially in China, I would say it's taken over social media and even the internet and the phone and everything. But yeah, maybe you can explain what you think of what happened with WeChat here.
When WeChat first came along, I was kind of like, oh no, not another chat program. But I actually started using it because I knew I had to market my ShenzhenParty.com through it. And it really started growing on me. And I started liking it a lot more than some of the other apps, such as WhatsApp. And then, of course, by that time, Facebook was not accessible. So in using it, I kind of found out that, you know, they started out as just being chat and group chat and stuff. And then they started adding other features. At some point, they added kind of these WeChat pages that companies could do. And you can kind of think of it as a Facebook page, but it's not exactly the same. And we've started our own Shenzhen Party WeChat page about a year and a half ago or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. All these social media tools in China or platforms, they're kind of mashups of Western platforms, but never exactly the same. But it seems like WeChat is totally different. I mean, maybe it started out as a WhatsApp, but now I think it's people don't even know it, probably listening that aren't in China yet, but it's a whole social network inside the phone. So how has it affected Shenzhen Party? I mean, I know Shenzhen Party's one of the most trafficked websites here in the English community, and I'm curious to hear.
Well, I mean, first, WeChat was one of the few kind of Chinese apps that was in English and had an English version. So, you know, I knew we had to adopt it, especially when they started coming out with pages for companies. And so we kind of started out publishing, you know, kind of a weekly WeChat where we'd highlight some of the stuff going on the website and some events and stuff. But, you know, we quickly realized that, you know, weekly is not even enough. You know, people are on their phones all the time, and we could be doing it daily and people would appreciate it because they're always looking for the next restaurant or they want to know what's the latest news. So in the end, we're publishing 5 days a week. And with the WeChat pages, you can publish one post per day, and each post can have 8 entries inside that post. And those posts are kind of WeChat does its own kind of content management system, its own platform. And so you have to use their back end to produce your content. And you can, you know, add a lot of different formatting and graphics and video and all those kind of things. But what you can't do a lot of is link inside it. So they've taken a lot of the HTML technologies, but they've taken a lot of some of the basic parts of the internet out of it, you know? Yeah. And so it's quite interesting because it's, you know, really becoming its own kind of sub-internet that's not really, at least it wasn't really searchable, but now they're adding search functionality on Tencent is the owner of WeChat, and they're adding the search functionality to it because they have that technology.
So I think maybe take a little bit of a step back. I think some listeners know of WeChat, and it's a complicated beast. I mean, it looks simple at the beginning because you just chat to your friends, but Brent's talking about pages. So some people might not even really still know what a page is. So I think maybe we'll break down a few different parts that hopefully we know all of it or we're going to share all of it. I mean, I think we have to give a full disclosure. When you're listening to this, even a month later, it might be old. Things are changing so quickly here. So I think there's a normal or personal account, right? That's the first one.
I mean, everybody
gets
just
that.
Registers that and then starts joining some groups usually. And then the next one would be the subscription account, which is what I use for Shenzhen Party, where you can publish one post a day, as I mentioned before. And that's used a lot by media companies, bars, restaurants that, you know, want to promote their new specials and stuff. Then there's a service account, which is more kind of aimed towards, I guess, e-commerce and large companies that are providing support through WeChat. And then a new one that's come along, I think, is an enterprise account. And I'm still a little bit fuzzy on that one, but I think it's kind of for companies that want to do internal communication and maybe, you know, coordinate with their departments and things like that.
Yeah. So I think really the main one, like you use subscription account, I think most people should probably focus on a subscription account because we're doing this in English and probably a lot of Westerners are listening. Maybe we can also talk about how do they open one? Who can open one? You have one with your business, Shenzhen Party. Was there, maybe you can talk about that process and give some advice for others that might not have one yet?
Yeah, I mean, as this phenomenon has taken off, you know, it used to be easy where everybody could just register a subscription account. You could start publishing. That was the original thing. But then they've started to restrict who can have these accounts and how to register them. And you need to provide a lot more documentation now. I think a lot of these subscription accounts, you actually need to have a company set up in China that you associate it with. Then you can pay, I think we had to pay about a 300 RMB fee. That is probably a yearly fee from what I understand. And then you're able to have this account, say it's a verified account, publish to it. And you get some extra things like when you visit that account page, you'll get some extra menus that you can have, and you can set up custom menus to allow you to see the latest events on Shenzhen Party, or we have a list of Mandarin schools on our WeChat account that you can study Mandarin and stuff like that.
And another thing I think we were talking about before recording that I think is worth noting is it's all done from the web, right? The subscription or the pages, subscription pages, you the CMS or the back end is all from the website.
Yeah, as I mentioned, it's like it's a whole own content management system, and yeah, you got to do it through web browser. You don't actually publish through the WeChat application. You know, you have a separate publishing account where you can log in and start uploading images and video and writing text. And, you know, these posts, a lot of times, quite usually independent posts, like a WordPress blog or something, you know, you can, you know, as I said, the linking is restricted. You can only have a link back to your website at the bottom of the post where it's like a read more link. And then that can help you drive some traffic back to your website. But I think, you know, your website needs to be mobile because most people are using it on their mobile phone. And you need to really, I think, you know, that's used a bit, but not as much as you'd like it to be used because the platform's kind of set up to keep you on the platform.
I mean, it's almost in line with like the we don't want to get political here, but, you know, the Chinese internet is like a separate world from the rest of the world. And now WeChat is its own like internet inside of the internet, or at least the mobile phone, and they are, yeah, they're really trapping everyone inside their system. And I don't think many people click that read more button right at the bottom.
But what's interesting is that you can get some statistics about how many people have read that post. There's even a rudimentary like button there where you can say that you like the post. When you're viewing a post, there's a lot of statistics you can get, like the number of people that read it, and you can get the number of likes. There's a little like button on it, just like Facebook. And then people have the ability to share the post amongst their network, so they can share it to a group or a friend. They could share it on their Moments. So the Moments, an analog of that is the Facebook wall, but it's still different. But anyway, you can think of it like that. And once you're publishing a post, you want to try and get people to share that post as well through their network. Then if you do that, you can get a lot more views of the post. And so usually you will publish that post and then you'll immediately start to share it on your own Moments and start to find people in your friends list that might be interested in it to shoot it out, and then maybe ask them to help. A lot of pages do contests and stuff like that. And so that's another way that people will start to share the post, when you can win something if you share it.
So it's kind of, you're already kind of getting into this, but the next point is more the strategies. Mm-hmm. I think you did talk about a couple, but is there any strategies you could share with us?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you need to have good understanding of how you can acquire followers on WeChat. You know, they're called followers, I guess, not fans necessarily. And so those followers can come from a few different ways. They can search for your brand in the WeChat search engine, and it will show up the account there, and then they can follow you. You can also share a page to somebody else, to a friend, to a group, and then people can click on it and follow. And then also, the surprising thing is, the way that we get the most followers is by scanning of the QR code. You know, and from my Western point of view, I thought QR codes would be here temporarily and they would go away. But it's become so big because of WeChat that everybody's used to scanning it. And so almost every restaurant and bar you go into is going to have their QR code printed out somewhere so that you can scan. And a lot of companies will do contests or give you a discount if you scan the QR code. For Shenzhen Party, you know, we're putting the QR code on our website and our newsletters. You can even put it at the bottom of your WeChat post, because even though you're viewing the post on your phone, and you're like, okay, how do I scan a QR code that's on my phone? Yeah. Well, what WeChat did is that, you tap on the image to zoom the image so you can see the image full size. Then you tap and hold to get the menu, and that menu will allow you to, you know, save the image or whatever. And if it's a QR code, it detects it and it says scan QR code. You have an extra menu item, right? So that's a little tip of how to scan your QR code when you're on your phone and not with a camera.
You just taught me that one. It works on Android too. So.
Yeah, iOS or Android. Yeah, you know, that really is like how I grow the traffic the most, is from scanning of the QR code. And it's really surprising to me, because I didn't think that would be the way. I thought maybe people would be sharing the account or whatever, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, you also do some offline events like the wine and cheese, and you know, I think it's I think the acronym is O2O, or online to offline, or offline to online, and kind of bridging the internet and the physical world. So maybe that's a reason.
Yeah. I mean, we try to have it displayed in our events and stuff, and on our printed material, things like that.
I wore a T-shirt for Social Agent with the big QR code. I've seen people print name. Maybe it's Social Agent Party is playing cards.
Playing cards
with every single card a different QR code.
Different QR code, yeah.
And they had sponsors pay for that, and they would distribute the playing cards out. It was a Chinese internet company.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. This guy's really creative. And I think we should also discuss groups. I think we're both in too many to follow, but.
Yeah, I mean, WeChat has the group function like a lot of the chat apps. And a lot of the small businesses are using groups for marketing. So some of those smaller restaurants that are just starting out will create a group. And I mean, that can be also a good way because you can have a conversation with the people that are fans of your product. And at one point, the groups were limited to like 100 people. They've started to change the rules and make ways that more and more people can join the group. So I've seen groups growing up going past 400 and things like that. But I mean, they end up becoming not so manageable. Also, one thing I did forget to mention is when you have a WeChat page, people can also reply to your WeChat page. And so you can still have a conversation through your WeChat page with your followers. You kind of have groups or WeChat page, but groups are like the more informal way of doing it. And the WeChat page is the formal way, I guess.
True. Mm-hmm. I think there's even ways that you can target certain followers on your page and send messages to different.
Yeah. We don't usually do that, but you can create groups within your page. And, you know, I think it's possible now to say send a post only to females that follow you or only to males, maybe. There's some demographic stuff that you can do. I mean, they have a lot of good statistics in the back end of your followers. And each post, you can see how many people viewed it and kind of see a graph of how of its performance over time. And so, you know, you can get some good insight to those followers. And I think there's, because they have a API, there's a lot of companies that are starting to make extra tools to help you analyze that and optimize those things.
So I think this goes towards the end is the future. What do you see with WeChat or with this, you know, the way things are going is so fast, it's hard to predict or keep up, but what are you seeing and thinking?
Well, I mean, it's always changing very quickly, but I mean, just, you know, last year they added e-commerce functions and you can link bank accounts and credit cards with it. And so now companies are finding ways to mobile commerce, and even the WeChat's enabling that where you can list products and accept money for those products. So I think that's going to be bigger and bigger. You know, I mean, there's a lot of crazy functions in there. Like you can book a taxi through WeChat and stuff and then pay for it. And they have a function where you could be at dinner and just send somebody money to pay them for the dinner and things like that. So they're really making it a central hub for lots of functions. And it should be a little bit confusing, but it still works though. People are using those functions, I think. And then, you know, they're adding these kind of APIs to, like, there's a JavaScript API where they're adding functionality like voice recognition that, you know, isn't even really in, you know, a lot of websites now, so you're going to be able to make some pretty complex apps inside WeChat with your website or brand.
True. And then on the mobile commerce, I want to put my... I was in my honeymoon last year when it came out during Chinese New Year, and Wendy, my wife, was going crazy with the red envelopes. So it's like, that's how they released their mobile commerce, was they were everybody sending money to each other through these red envelopes. Those are familiar with Chinese culture. And it got, at least the Chinese, maybe, I don't think it got me or you to get up, but all the Chinese were sending money to each other through these red envelope things. And it was, I remember, a pretty amazing way to get everybody to take it over.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great marketing ploy to get people to link their bank accounts, right? Because if somebody links their bank accounts and then sends you money, you want to receive it, so you got to link your account. And that was very smart of them. Yep.
And I think we're also noticing, we were talking before the show about the groups, that I think they're also, I think the mobile commerce is where they're really going, because they're making everybody link their bank accounts. So to get into bigger groups, I think you have to have a bank account linked. And so it just definitely see that happening. I don't I also like you were talking a little bit before about the Facebook differences, and mm-hmm. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, the WeChat's really doing its own thing. There's a lot of different things that they're doing, just slightly different than Facebook, and which sometimes even simplifies things over Facebook. Like, you know, you can only see comments on the moments that we talked about before from other people that are your friends or you have friends in common, right? And so there's not a lot of complex privacy implications because nothing's public unless, you know, you only see it when you're linked, when you're friends. And so you don't have a lot of complex privacy settings and things like that, which is quite interesting. So in some of those things are keeping it very simple. And they're doing a lot of other interesting linkages, like you can link your account to LinkedIn, you know, which I never really expected that to be a partnership. So if somebody links their WeChat account to LinkedIn, you can go on LinkedIn and scan them and add them on the WeChat, you know.
Yeah, I have my phone contacts synced. So then to add somebody on LinkedIn, it passes a number to my phone book, which then syncs to WeChat and then suggests them as a friend on WeChat.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, crazy. I didn't set that up.
I have no privacy, so my they're trying to take over my contacts, but I mean, I let LinkedIn and WeChat have my contacts and they're syncing it all up. Mm-hmm. But it's really crazy. And also, I don't think we covered it here, but you were saying how Facebook kind of splitting up their apps.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was the other thing is, you know, I mean, like we said, WeChat's adding lots of functionality and, you know, it's not that confusing, but, you know, where Facebook is putting, you know, separate messaging app, they have the Facebook app and I quite don't understand it exactly because I feel that when I'm using WeChat, you know, in the moments, things is much more fluid and addicting. You know, you go into chat and then you check a moment and then you go back and forth. And I didn't really understand separating the Facebook feeds and the communicating, you know, except that, yeah, probably they want to be able to get the app out faster and stuff like that and focus maybe. But it's really a completely different way of attacking these markets, the WeChat way and the Facebook way.
Yeah, a lot of people have been complaining about Facebook a lot with Messenger. It kind of push notifies. It's really intrusive, right?
Oh, yeah, you can't turn it off. Yeah. Otherwise it yells at you. Yeah, yep. Which I don't particularly like. Yeah.
All right. So thanks again for sharing, Brent. And we also have the new book, Shenzhen, the book. And maybe we can talk a little bit about how that got to be
So we just published a ebook called Shenzhen the Book, and it's even though I say ebook, it's a substantial book, about 360 pages. You know, a couple that first came to China in like the late 1970s, they contacted me because they'd been living in Shenzhen and they wrote a book and they wanted to publish it. And so I took on the job of being the publisher and figuring out how to publish an ebook, which is maybe a whole separate podcast.
Yeah, that's the next show we'll do.
But if you go to www.shenzhenbooks.com, you can see some more information on that. Download a free chapter. You know, right now we've just put it on Kindle. We'll see about doing other platforms later. And it's got a lot of unique information because this couple's been living in China for so long. They're very versed in history of China, history of Shenzhen, and they hit all the landmarks very well. So you can really learn stuff even if you've been living here for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I learned some. I'm still going through it. It's like you said, it's a massive book. But I was learning it because it goes a lot of times for people like me. I'm more of on the business side, so I didn't go into the culture, but they really go through like the deep culture and the history and the places to go. And it's definitely, even for me, I've been here quite a while, was helpful. So thanks, Brent. And also, of course, everybody knows ShenzhenParty.com, but how can people reach out to you if they have...
Well, I guess since this show is about WeChat, I'd first request that you follow our Shenzhen Party WeChat page. So just search for Shenzhen Party. And then if you want to contact me through WeChat, you can search for my last name, Deverman, D-E-V-E-R-M-A-N, and you will find me in WeChat there.
Great. Maybe we'll also put the QR code in the show notes.
Yeah, we should practice that. What we preach, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that'll work, but maybe we'll test it out and people can let us know. And so thanks again, Brent, and thanks. We'll have to get you back on the show too soon. And
no problem. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it.
That's a wrap. Thanks, Brent, for coming on and being a regular listener and sharing of the show on your site and in your network. I always appreciate it, and I hope everyone else did too. And he will be giving away some free select section of that book, Shenzhen, the book, if you hop over on the show notes at globalfromasia.com/episode73, so check that out. I just finished actually reading Shenzhen, the book, and honestly, even though I've been here for 7 years, I learned a bunch of new things, and for those just getting over here, it's definitely going to teach you a ton of things, and I do wholeheartedly recommend it. Also, there's going to be the QR codes there. You can scan his and follow Shenzhen Party on WeChat or this show. I have a new one I'm working on, and I'm kind of just still experimenting if you want. And I made a QR code too. And I just learned after this Chinese New Year holiday that it can be more than just a QR code. It could be a graphic, a name card. So I'm going to put a couple other examples too, so you guys can look at that and get some ideas. So thanks again, Brent, and for sharing. Next week, we're going to go into Hong Kong business again. We're going to talk about running multiple businesses inside of a single Hong Kong Limited. And I'm excited. That is something I didn't figure out for a while, and I think maybe a lot of you might not have known about. And Happy New Year for the GOAT. I'm going to call it a GOAT. And let's make big things happen in 2015, both the Chinese calendar New Year and the Western. Let's go.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.